This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mark Packer along with Wes Durham. Again, my thanks to Dave Clawson, Tom Luganville, Dallin Cuff. But Wes, we're going to start off this hour with a gentleman that was nominated for Wide Receiver U this weekend. And one of the things we talked about leading into last week's Notre Dame-Pittsburgh game was, will we finally see Notre Dame go vertical, throw the ball downfield, make some plays? Well, we got our answer on Saturday because our next guest was front and center and one of the reasons to answer the question. Look at Ben right there, smiling on his face. Man, just throw number 11 the ball, will you? Ben, it can't be that hard. You're wide open downfield, right?
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, I always want the ball as a receiver. But, yeah, Saturday was a fun one.
Ben, this ball game Saturday at Pittsburgh, I heard it referred to last night as maybe Notre Dame's coming out party. I'm not sure about that. You guys were plenty good before Saturday's victory against the Panthers. But there was a feel of, hey, we're going to throw you the vertical game at you today. We know that Williams and Flemister can run it for us and things like that. And we got guys that can do some other things. We got a great offensive line. But did you have the sense that you guys were going to expand down the field throwing the ball last Saturday?
Yeah, I had a pretty good sense, kind of just leading up to the game. There's a big emphasis on the vertical passing game and just being a playmaker out there. Coach Kelly, Coach Reese, and Coach Alexander, all week they're just talking about, you know, we need playmakers to show up on Saturday in the passing game and start making some big plays, carry it over from practice, from camp to Saturdays.
Ben, explain how interesting and difficult, perhaps is probably the right word, this has been in terms of the pandemic. You know, no spring football for the most part, summer, forget about it. Kind of been a hit and a miss, start and a stop into fall. We've always talked about what was coming back for Notre Dame, right? Great offensive line, experience with Ian Book, stable backs, and a lot of talented receivers. And when we had a chance to talk to Ian, we talked about, hey, developing chemistry, tight ends, wide receivers. What's that been like in your room, your group, in terms of developing that chemistry with Ian this season?
Yeah, you know, it's certainly been different with everything going on. Certainly not having spring ball, not having, a full summer to really work out together has been different. But, you know, we found a way. You know, when we got back, late June, early July, you know, we went right to work, every single day. Running routes, catching passes from Ian, and just spending time together and trying to develop that chemistry. But, yeah, like you mentioned, no spring ball. It was certainly different, especially with the new offensive coordinator as well.
Ben, it's also been a transition for you as a grad guy, right? I mean, you played at Northwestern. You had a 45-game career there, really very productive for Coach Fitzgerald. And then you get an opportunity to spend that grad year at Notre Dame. Being from Fort Wayne, how much did that factor into it, or what was it about Notre Dame? And after your injury a year ago, cut your final season in Evanston short, what was attractive about making this move?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't easy leaving Northwestern. You know, Coach Fitz has done a great job with that program, but when I decided to enter the transfer portal, Notre Dame really wasn't even on my radar. But my high school, the guy I worked out with in high school, you know, he's like, you should really look at Notre Dame. They're losing a lot. And honestly, I kind of held some hate in my heart for them not having an offer out of high school. But, when they reached out to me, and then when I visited, spent some time with Ian, spent some time with Coach Reese, who I had a relationship with. He was actually a GA at Northwestern when they were recruiting me. So, you know, it was an easy decision. The culture here is great. Coach Kelly's done a great job building a culture and just the guys here. So, it was hard to leave Northwestern, but it was easy to come to a spot like Notre Dame.
Ben, I can ask this because Pat Fitzgerald's one of my favorite people in college sports. He's just a great coach and an even better person. But when you're at Northwestern, let's be honest, the grass is this stinking high in Evanston, right? I'm telling you, every time I watch a Northwestern game, the grass is higher than it is in my backyard. As a wide receiver, man, you had to go to a fast track. And now that Notre Dame, who used to have grass this high, you got that fast track now at South Bend, man. You wide receivers, you guys aren't fooling anybody. You want to go where you can run.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. You know, the grass in Evanston was definitely, you know, maybe half an inch to an inch longer. But, yeah, no, it's different playing on turf. Yeah, that's funny, though. You know, that's what every opposing team, and actually Notre Dame played there in 2018, and everyone's like, wow, your guys' field, you know, the grass was so long. I was like, yeah, you know, it's a little bit of home field advantage there.
That's right. Smart guys in Evanston. We're going to slow the game down a little bit. Maybe you can't do that now at Notre Dame. It's all about speed. You guys got all kinds of athletes out there on the perimeter, as you well know.
That's right. Yeah, it's all about speed now.
What's this been like in the move? Because you come obviously for the spring semester, right? And then the pandemic hits and everything else kind of transfers behind that. And then, you know, you go back to campus and then it's balky, to say the least. Oh, by the way, you're now in a conference, things of that nature. I mean, you feel like you're going to get thrown another card here sooner or later. We hear coaches talk about being flexible, nimble, willing to adjust. I know players have gone through that and then some. But being an older guy and going through a transfer portal situation, how much of this do you just say, hey, long as I'm getting to play and long as we're getting to move forward, I'm okay with it?
Yeah, you know, there's obviously been, you know, this year for everybody, it's been a, you know, emotional roller coaster. You know, coming here in January, you know, I fit right in, made some great friends right away. Actually, like, went on spring break with a group of guys, you know, after just knowing them for a couple weeks, but... and then after the spring break trip, you know, we never went back to South Bend, so it was kind of weird. But you know, it certainly hasn't been easy with the season, you know, being postponed, games being canceled, and then joining a conference. You know, I'm just thankful to be able to play. You know, obviously I love this game, and being able to play is, you know, awesome. So very thankful that Notre Dame's in the ACC this year, and we have a full slate of games.
Ben, when you guys are practicing and it's good against good. Kyle Hamilton's one of my favorite players, right? I mean, this 14 is everywhere. He can be on a line of scrimmage. He can make a play 60 yards downfield. What's it like at practice when you see Hamilton on the other side? Because he's got to be a problem for any offense.
Yeah, Kyle is an unbelievable player. It was one of the first fall camp practices. We were doing like a red zone 7-on-7 or maybe full team, and he made an unbelievable play. And you know, I just kind of had to like double take. It was unbelievable. I was like, wow, this guy, you know, he's probably a first round talent, pretty high draft pick. So yeah, he's a heck of a player, and he showed it from, you know, one of the first practices. So, and he's also a great kid. You know, he's one of my good friends on the team, and you know, I'm excited to watch him continue to grow throughout this year and, you know, future years for the Irish.
Ben, I want to ask you about growing up in Fort Wayne, and you go to Northwestern, but now you come back to Notre Dame, but you also won a state high school basketball championship in Fort Wayne. I mean, you know, anybody of ilk who follows sports has seen Hoosiers. And I know Indiana got away from the all-class event several years ago, and now they break it down into ranks and that kind of deal. But still, what did basketball mean to you? Because I'm always fascinated by wide receivers and guys of your size who play basketball and now try and translate some of that to football. And I know you had a decorated football career and very successful there, but where does basketball factor into your football game?
Yeah, you know, just the aggressiveness, you know, just trying to be like a team guy and a winner, doing anything for the team. So, you know, my high school basketball team was pretty talented with a guy like Caleb Swanigan, who ended up being a first-round pick, and then we had, I think, three other D1 guys on the team. So, you know, I started my sophomore year, and then I came back. We had a transfer point guard come in, and I ended up being a sixth man. So it kind of just translated to, you know, doing whatever it takes to win. But, you know, as far as my basketball skill set to my football skill set, you know, I think going up and getting the ball, you know, is something that, you know, translated from basketball to football. I honestly kind of started losing my basketball game when I was able to start dunking, and I think it was my freshman year. So, you know, every day in practice, I'd try to do these crazy dunks and stuff, and then I lost my jump shot. And my basketball coach was so mad at me. He's like, will you just work on your mid-range game? I'm like, you know what? You know, that's not fun. I want to make the highlight plays. So, you know, I think that kind of translates a little bit, but it's all fun. I had so much fun playing basketball. You know, such a great group of guys, and you know, obviously winning the state title in Indiana is something, you know, you can kind of brag about your whole life.
Ben, who's got any game on this football team in terms of hoops? You got a couple guys that you've earmarked that said, hey, you know what? Guy's got some skill over there.
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton always tells me, he's like, yo, you know, I can play some basketball. I think his dad played, you know, obviously he's a tall guy, and then he showed me his highlights. I'm like, yeah, you can play. You know, as far as the other guys, I'm not too sure because, you know, we never really got a chance to play this offseason. Yeah. But, you know, everybody in the locker room can play basketball. You know, everyone was, you know, an all-state player in basketball, as they claim. I think Jeremiah Owusu Koramoah, I think he compared himself to maybe AI one day or something.
Oh,
so,
man.
I'm not too sure.
Come on.
Everybody thinks they can play until they have to show that they can play, right? That's how that normally works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone is LeBron James in the locker room.
Right. Exactly right. Before we let you go, I know that Northwestern's a great academic institution. I mean, fantastic. So is South Bend at Notre Dame. We always ask every student athlete that joins us, like, granted, you've got a smaller sample size, so I may go double dip on you with this, but what's been the hardest class so far at Notre Dame for you?
The hardest class so far, I've been taking some Irish studies classes. I have a great professor in that. I take them with Ian Books. So I wouldn't say the hardest, but the most fun class. I've actually learned a lot about the history of Ireland leading up through the 1900s. It's been a really good class. I've taken some other good ones. There's some great professors at Notre Dame. But, you know, in my undergrad at Northwestern, I definitely took some difficult classes. I actually had to drop a couple there. You know, the ones with a lot of math, you know, are yeah. the ones that I struggle with the most.
Yeah, that's like my partner. That's got his name written all over it. By the way, what is the most interesting thing you've learned about Ireland?
Oh, man. There's a lot. It's just the culture. You know, I'm learning about, like, the west of Ireland right now and just the culture on Ireland. It's actually, like, it's pretty interesting. You know, there's a lot of different stuff, a lot of different stories, songs, movies, all that stuff. So, you know, just learning about that's pretty cool.
All right. And by the way, is Book a good classmate or not? I know you guys are doing a lot of online stuff and so forth, but what's Ian Book like as far as a classmate?
Oh, I think, you know, I think he's a 4.0 guy. I think, you know, every single class he's gone a 4.0 in. So he's a great classmate. And definitely a teacher's pet. So,
oh, there you go. That's what I was looking for right there. You know what?
Now we're getting to it.
Here's the problem, Ben. You throw something like that on television, you know, you may not see a ball until the Clemson game. He may just look at you at Georgia Tech and go, you know
right.
what? I know he's open, but I'm not going for any of that nonsense. Forget that. Well, listen, congratulations, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much
for having
me.
You bet. Ben Skoranek, who great ball game Saturday, couple catches, both touchdowns for Notre Dame in the win at Pittsburgh. The Irish are in Atlanta on Saturday. By the way, the percentage capacity sellout at Bobby Dodd Stadium, as you'd suspect, Notre Dame makes their first appearance in Atlanta since 2006, I believe. So we'll see. Notre Dame and Georgia Tech, a game originally scheduled for Mercedes-Benz Stadium, will be played at Bobby Dodd and Grant Field Saturday afternoon, 3:30 on ABC. Follows Clemson, Boston College, so you get an ACC double dip, if you will, on ABC this week, starting at noon and then at 3:30. We got plenty more on this program coming up, Pac. You know, you mentioned this earlier. Who needs the bye the most? We got a handful of teams on bye weeks. Ooh. We'll see how this goes. We'll talk about the Noles and NC State, Pittsburgh and Miami. Getting a break in the schedule. Next on Packer.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. All right, we've got topics to get into. We'll give you a counting again in case you missed it. We'll give you that whole lowdown and so forth. But a little bit of everything today. A little some soccer, some hoops, obviously a lot of football. Some off-the-cuff stories, which we've got into. I told you, Wes, that Let's see, it's 9:17. If I do not hear from someone in power by 10 a.m., I'm pulling my name out of driving the golf cart Friday, because I got to do something on Friday. I got a very important thing I've got to commit to by 10 o'clock. And if the golf cart thing doesn't work, hey, I'm out. I'm out.
Now, much what about 10:05? Are we going to go 10:05?
No.
Does this fall into the 10:05? No. No 10:05.
10 a.m. sharp. If I don't hear, then I'm out. I can't do it.
Okay, got it.
I've got something I've got to do Friday.
For those of you that are, for those of you that are just joining and are not familiar with this, about a month ago it came to our attention that the ACC was staging its cross-country championships at the Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary, North Carolina. And Mark said that day that he would be willing to drive the golf cart, to lead the cross-country runners out through the course.
Yep.
We had a couple callers call in, talk about the direction of the course. They felt Mark was more than qualified.
Yep.
I think one of the Lumberjacks has reported that someone representing one of the institutions and in a coaching role called in and said you weren't going to get anywhere near it unless you went through the COVID protocols. I think you said you would do that.
Yeah, in fact, I got
if you had to.
Let me just
say
one thing, Wes. If I don't get a green light from somebody in the ACC by 10 a.m., I'm out, because Friday I am scheduled to have COVID test, believe it or not, ironically.
There you go. So there you have it.
I'd rather be on the golf cart than have a Q-tip stuck up my nostril for the 48th time and scratch the back of my head. So I would much rather be driving golf carts. But if we don't get the green light today, then I've got to commit to the COVID test Friday.
I think that what we're saying is, though, if you go to drive the golf cart, you're going to have the COVID test.
No problem. I'm having it Friday anyhow.
Okay. So there we go.
So,
yeah.
Not an issue.
Anyway, all sorts of things are in play here. But for those of you, Mark has expressed a desire and
a want to drive
the cart free of charge. Right. Packer and Durham type event here, wants to drive the golf cart to lead the ACC cross country championships at the Wake Med Soccer Park on Friday afternoon. I think it starts at 2 o'clock.
Whatever.
And as of yet, no official invitation has been extended by the Atlantic Coast Conference. And ironically, the commissioner will be with us at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Which is awesome.
But PAC has set a 10 o'clock deadline today.
I have to know.
He hasn't heard.
Got it. I got to know, because like I told you, I got to have a medical procedure next week. It's the only reason I'm doing the COVID thing. I'm perfectly fine. At least I think I am. But I've got, they said, you're going to have to test on Friday. Whatever. I'm hoping to be driving a golf cart. So if I don't hear today, then I got to commit to the medical thing, which I'd rather, like I told you, I'd rather be on the golf cart. So it is what it is.
There we go.
By the way, one more thing before we get to our next issue.
Keep you updated here in the last 40 minutes.
I mentioned to you yesterday about Wake Forest. I used to call them the Swiss, because Wake doesn't have any enemies in the ACC.
Yes.
I went rummaging through my stuff in storage, and I told you that a person had made me a Switzerland black and gold flag that we flew on the Southern Fried Football Tour. Wes.
Yes.
There it is.
Oh, no. Oh.
How about that right there?
Wake is the Swiss.
That's it. That's the flag that we flew in the Southern Fried Football Tour.
Oh, my God.
The Swiss. Nobody hates Wake. Everybody's happy when Wake wins. And when the Deacs struggle, it's like, oh, man, that's all right, man. It's Wake, man. We're rooting for you guys. And nobody dislikes Wake Forest. It's the only school in the conference that has no enemies. So, hence, Wake's always been known as the Swiss. That's why I would nickname them that. There's the Swiss flag for people that thought I was making all that up. There you go. All right. Now we're good.
What if somebody calls and says they really don't like Wake?
They're lying. What is Wake Forest has done? Wake Forest has done nothing to cause a problem. Now, Virginia Tech fans aren't happy with the Swiss this week because, you know, but that was a Virginia Tech thing. I mean, Wake just showed up, played ball, man. Don't turn it over three times. You cross midfield eight times, score more than 16 points. Nobody hates Wake. Nobody dislikes Wake. Now, you may be mad at him for a day, but, you know, you get over it. Wake doesn't bother anybody. And that's a good thing. Now, there's some schools you can mention their name and people have an immediate reaction to them. But that doesn't happen with Wake. Wake's like, oh, yeah, we're cool with the Deacs. Man, good for them.
I don't know about that, Pac. I don't know.
Name one.
I don't know. There may be somebody out there that – I'm just saying there may be somebody who's a State fan, a Carolina fan, or a Duke fan that has an immediate reaction when Wake's name gets mentioned. Oh, I don't like Wake Forest.
Nah, I don't believe that.
Just saying.
Duke, State, Carolina.
Your counter to that is
– the boys in the triangle all hate each other. The boys in the triangle all hate each other. Duke hates State. State hates Carolina. Carolina hates Duke. That is par for the course. But if you throw Wake into that mix, they're all like, oh, we're cool with Wake. You know, we're good with Wake. We're all right. And
I don't know about that. I don't know. Nobody hates the Deacs. Not sure about that.
No.
I think there's somebody out there that's probably got an issue.
Well, listen. Billy Packer stopped doing games 12 years ago. So you got it out of your system. If you were going to tie in Billy with Wake, you got it out of your system. It's 12 years. It gets out. You flush it after 12 years, Wes. You're good. After a decade, you're good. You're like, yeah, whatever.
It's not like me. I've never had a problem with Billy.
I know, but there are people that do that. They may associate Billy with Wake from that. But you know, like
there are people that have a problem with Billy? Come on. People have a problem with Billy?
Within the family. Forget fan bases. It's like the Dodgers. If the Dodgers happen to luck into a championship tonight, I mean, after 32 years, you kind of forgot how bad it feels.
Oh, I like how we're starting to justify the Dodgers winning.
We want them to lose. Ninth inning.
I can't wait. We're creeping into the Dodger justification zone tonight.
I'm not justifying anything. I hope they lose both games.
Oh my gosh! Oh heavens!
Can we move in play up like an hour so I can get dialed in to in play? Apple juice, orange juice before I have to really start dialing into the
Dodgers. Next. Hold up or non-next.
Yeah, all that.
Hold up or non-next.
That's it. All right. We've got everybody
coming
screaming
up tonight,
at us in
9
Bristol.
O'clock.
I know. It's kind of late.
Yeah, we're...
It's late.
Yeah, we're moving on. We got plenty to go. You know what else we've got? We've got more conference cuts. We've got a lot of things to do. We've had, so far, in this segment, we have had a final appeal to the Atlantic Coast Conference for you to drive the golf cart, okay? A final appeal has been made.
Right.
If we don't hear by 10 o'clock, not 10:05, has to be 10 o'clock.
10.
That
really,
you're not going to be
9:57.
You're out.
You'll be exact.
Okay. So there we go. 9:57. We're coming up on the deadline. About 30-minute deadline. Second part is Wake is the Swiss, and nobody says a bad thing about Wake.
Everybody likes Wake. We're good with Wake.
Right. Okay. Last thing is that... you're not interested in – you want to play hold up or not next?
I got to be honest. I'll be completely transparent. The first time I saw that on in play, it took me a while to figure out what was going on. I'll be completely honest with you.
I got you. We got it.
We're ready.
But I watched,
you know, I'm dialed in. So that's why I am into it tonight.
Yeah.
I wish it was 9 o'clock. I know. I wish it was
Kara Lawson is on the show tonight with EJ and Kelsey.
Oh, excellent. So, she's great. She'll be good.
Yeah. So there we go. We will get to a second helping of conference cuts when we come back, kids. Dino Babers, Scott Satterfield, and Brian Kelly wearing one of the best jackets you can see. Coach Fuente earlier with us on scheduling. Bronco talked about quarterbacks. And we even had some Sam Howell in there. Second helping of the conference cuts coming up next, though, on ACC.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Tuesday version of Packer and Durham here on ACC Network. 844-SAY-ACCN. The number, of course, streaming live on the ESPN app, Sirius XM 371 as well. We're good to go. All right, more conference cuts. We had my man Justin Fuente earlier today, and so I really don't know what this list will look like. I just wait in anticipation if there's a round two. I don't know if we'll have it or not, but always appreciate the Tuesdays, all man. Right. Tuesdays are fun with the coaches.
All right, Dino Babers, by the way, at the podium yesterday, talked about the differences he saw in his team between the Liberty game and the Clemson game.
You know, I can't tell you. I mean, sometimes I think I've got the craziest profession in the world, undergraduate degree, master's degree, and I want my livelihood to depend on what 18 and 21-year-olds do. You know, they look like two different football teams. It's something that I'm really proud of, the way they competed against Clemson. I'm not so proud about the way they competed against the other guys. But what we need to do is I'm striving for these young people and for ourselves to be consistent, because that's what you need to do. You need to be have a steady stream so that people can, you know, make decisions off of you, and you don't want to be inconsistent. So we're trying and moving that way as fast as we can, but with the drastic age groups that we have, it's taken us a little bit longer than what I would anticipate it.
Wes, I told you on Monday, I thought Dino Babers, his staff, and his kids did a heck of a job Saturday, because it would have been really, really, really easy coming off that Liberty game to go down to Death Valley and get beat by 100. And they didn't. They competed. Even when things went haywire earlier and they're down 17-0, they fought back, made it a six-point game in the third quarter. And given all the injuries and everything else that's kind of rolled into Syracuse 2020 football, that was a really, really good effort Saturday by the Cuse.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Scott Satterfield also yesterday, along those same lines, disappointing loss at Notre Dame, turns around, showcased a lot of wares Saturday, especially early against Florida State, and he talks about his team's differences in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I just think it's a lot of the little things, things that sometimes we end up taking for granted, but, you know, just like guys showing up on time when they're supposed to show up and going to get in treatment, you know, basically all the little things, the accountability type things that you know, good teams do on a consistent basis. The amount of focus that we've had the last 2 weeks has been really, really good. And the guys' eagerness to get here and to want to be here. And I think you can just sense it. And it's not just, you know, in the meetings, but it's, you know, it's coming to the weight room, it's coming in the training room, all those things that you want, you know, championship caliber teams to be about. You know, I think that's what our guys have been doing the last couple of weeks. And all that does, that's what I told them, all that does is give you an opportunity on Saturdays. You know, it doesn't guarantee a win. You know, but the last 2 weeks we've gone out and we've played pretty good. You know, we didn't win Notre Dame, but we beat Florida State. So, you know, again, we got to have that same approach and bring that every single week to give ourselves a chance to play good on Saturday.
Coach is right. And here's another team could have just rolled over and played dead, Wes, especially after the effort that was given against Notre Dame, which they did not turn the ball over, and they're in the game fourth quarter. It's a one possession game, 12-7 your final. It'd have been real easy to go, oh man, 0-4. Thought we were going to be in the ACC championship game. We're going nowhere fast. They were terrific Saturday. I mean, they ambushed Florida State. I mean, that was a woodshed job. And Tom Luganville talked about the offensive talent, which we all knew they had. They're still dialed in and playing. Again, that's a testament to coaching and players going, hey, we worked too hard just to let this thing get away from us. And Louisville looked awfully good Saturday.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden you think about the way the Virginia Tech-Wake Forest ball game went, and now the Hokies visit Cardinal Stadium on Saturday at 4 o'clock. It's game two of our triple header here on the network. And there's an interesting thought process there, don't you believe? I mean, because you're getting two teams. Virginia Tech's going to have to kind of do the same thing Louisville did. Disappointing loss in Winston-Salem. Got to find a way to bounce back. You're playing a team you haven't played recently. No real worksheet of any kind against Louisville. Same for the Cardinals against the Hokies. I think it's a fascinating ball game in many respects, Mark.
Well, it's interesting because Louisville's got this momentum of saying, hey, listen, when we play well together, team football, we've kind of seen it here the last two weeks, so they're building upon something. Virginia Tech and Justin Fuente, even immediately after the game, talked about, man, sloppy penalties, turnovers. It just wasn't what they were expecting. Had a tough time running the football, even though it went over 200 yards, but the way they've been running the ball, 300's been the standard. And really for the Hokies now, yep. Wes, despite a lot of big games ahead in November, they are now in must-win mode. If you're going to get to Charlotte, you've got yep. two L's, and when you take inventory of where you stand, even though last week you were ranked 19th in the country according to the AP, for you to get to Charlotte, you must win every game. You have no more margin of error. Everything's got to be a W moving right. on. And it starts with a game that we've not seen. And that's Virginia Tech and Louisville, which is kind of bizarre. We talked about it earlier today on the yep. show. First time they've hooked up since Louisville has joined the conference. And we will see that game for the very first time coming up this weekend. But it's pretty simple for Justin Fuente and the boys. You got to win out. Anything short of that, you're not getting to Charlotte.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Not only do you have two losses, you lose head-to-heads with North Carolina. If you end up tied with North Carolina, you lose the head-to-head. If you end up tied with Wake Forest, you lose the head-to-head. You have Miami coming up in 2 weeks, 2 weeks and change at home. You have Clemson, and you have Virginia. But in the case of the head-to-heads right now, you need – two teams to lose at least one and maybe two in order to make that jump, in given you have to win the rest of yours too. So that's kind of why that cut from one to two is so big when we talk about conference losses, because then that brings the involved math back into play, if you will. But that'll be an interesting game Saturday. Very interesting with Virginia Tech and Louisville. Last stop here on conference cuts, Brian Kelly, who noted the differences for Notre Dame this season while playing a conference schedule for the first time.
You know, we're creatures of habit. So I think as coaches, the routine is very similar now that we've gotten back to a routine. The opponents kind of blend in a little bit when it comes to the preparation. But, there is a little bit of a loss when you don't see USC or Stanford on your schedule or Michigan or a Big Ten school. But you don't think too much about it. I mean, I think it lasts probably one coffee or one slice of pizza, then you're back to work. But again, I think, you're a lot more familiar with the opponents because you have a bank of film where sometimes, as we're preparing, we're playing first-time opponents. Sometimes we don't have a great understanding of the opponent we're playing. This is a lot easier in terms of our research in that respect.
First things first, the blazer, sharp, like the look. Second of all, what was the deal with the slice of pizza? One slice of pizza and you move on? Huh? What? Yeah. What was that?
Slice of pizza. More than one, don't you, Coach? Got to have more than one.
You
right?
mean one pizza, not slice of pizza. One pizza. And then you're like, yeah, okay. Now we'll go back to work. Come on, Coach.
That might be for our next visit with Coach Kelly.
That was like your talk yesterday with Clausen, which we played today, about you going over to Dewey's and across the street to Krispy Kreme and bought all that stuff and didn't eat anything. I mean, that's garbage. That's a waste. Why even waste time? Maybe go eat something, man. You live here once. Enjoy it while you're here. It's in moderation. I get that.
I did. Eventually, I did have the sugar cake.
Hey, come on.
For the record.
Live a little bit. It's going to be all right.
Just saying.
You'll be all right. I know this much. Brian Kelly, on a serious note, Brian Kelly had to be thrilled flying back to South Bend, because he talked a lot last week about looking to get the balance in his offense. He knows he's got a great line. He knows he's got an experienced quarterback. He likes his backs. But what they showed against Pitt, being able to throw the ball downfield, and you want to give, you're talking about giving tape to people. Everybody's got Notre Dame on the list moving forward. Watch that tape and went, uh-oh. You know what? We thought we might be able to just stack the box because they don't trust on a downfield. Well, they gave everybody something to think about. And I thought Notre Dame, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today, I thought that was by far their best effort of the year. And they beat a pretty good yep. Pitt team that had everything to play for. And they beat them like a drum, 45-3. Special teams, blocked punt for touch, throwing it downfield, vertical passing game, line of scrimmage, domination, 41 minutes time of possession, run the football. I thought Notre Dame looked completely like you could not have scripted it any better for Brian Kelly Saturday after what he talked about the entire week, having the ability to be able to throw it, run it, play defense, special teams. Check, 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 check yep. for Notre Dame.
The Irish are definitely ascending, wouldn't you say, in terms of what they got going on, it looks
they,
like?
They did Saturday. Now, the week before, it was a sputter fest in South Bend. That 12-7 thing wasn't pretty. I mean, that was one of those, hey, yeah. you know, you get the win and you move on. Kind of a little bit like what Clemson and Syracuse was like Saturday for the Tigers. Hey, was it your standard? No, it was not. Did you do some good things? Yeah, you did some good things. A lot to work on, no question about that. Were you focused, dialed in, ready to go? Hey, you got to improve on that end too. So everybody does it. You don't play great football every single week. But I thought Notre Dame this past weekend was very, very good.
I agree with you on that. We'll see how the Irish handle Atlanta Saturday afternoon, 3:30 on ABC. We've got a women's soccer doubleheader for you on Thursday night right here on ACC Network. Get you started at 6 o'clock. Number 10, Virginia at Boston College. And then at 8 o'clock, number 1, North Carolina. Number 13, Louisville. Women's soccer, Thursday night on the pitch right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. We are essentially... counting down the minutes here on Packer and the potential golf cart lead at the ACC Cross Country Championships. We're getting ready to hit a deadline there. And we've also hit our deadline with accounting. We'll show you ours if you show us yours right after this on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Time for a little accounting. And again, you at home are listening to us wherever it may be, SiriusXM 371, whether it be on ACC Network, whatever the case may be. You can participate in accounting. You can rank them 1 through 15. If you got something funny to add at the Sweet 16 spot, you can do that as well. Just hashtag Packer and Durham. You have a chance still to send them in. And we will select two lucky contestants tomorrow and showcase your rankings right here on the program, your 15 minutes of fame. And we'll go from there.
We also post them for public scrutiny.
That's right.
On the social media platforms, too. That's part of it. Yep. I'll start. Shockingly, I have Clemson at number 1. In the accounting this week, followed by Notre Dame at 2, Carolina 3, Miami 4. Of that second line, Wake Forest is my top team this week. 5 for the Deacs, 6 for Virginia Tech, 7 Boston College, 8 NC State, then 9 Louisville, 10 Virginia, 11 Florida State, 12 Pittsburgh, 13 Georgia Tech, 14 Duke. 15, Syracuse. Blue Devils, by the way, only team that was off last week. They host Charlotte this week. That's my look at accounting. Mr. Packer?
You know, I think I said to you yesterday, I think we've got a group from 1 to 4. Put them in whatever order you want. I think we have a group from 5 to 8.
Right.
Put them in whatever order you want. I think everybody's going to be kind of in the same neighborhood with those 8 teams in those two different blocks. I think 11 through 15 is a train wreck, and good luck figuring it out. You can justify it however you want. But I do think we have like three groupings, 1 through 4, 5 through 8, and 11 through 15, that will be pretty consistent with which teams are in those tiers. Now, with that said, I give you my 15 plus the Sweet 16 this week. 1 through 4, again, pretty similar to Wes's. I got Clemson 1. Notre Dame 2. We flip-flop on North Carolina, Miami. The only reason I've got Miami 3, North Carolina 4 is because they have one common opponent, and that would be Florida State. Miami beat them by 100. North Carolina lost to them. That's the only reason it's 3-4 that way. 5 through 8, you could put them whatever order you want. The only reason I've got Virginia Tech at the 5 spot is because they're 2-1 against those other groupings of NC State, BC, and Wake. But if you told me that Wake was at 5 this week, I'd be cool with it, like Wes has. Wake and Wake. Wes had Wake at 5. I've got them where you see them. But, you know, BC, Wake, you can flip-flop, whatever combo you want there. Georgia Tech and Pitt have won 2 games in the league. I got them at 9-10. Pitt on a 4-game losing streak, that's a problem. 11 through 15, like I told you. The reason I've got Louisville 11 is I've been impressed with them the last 2 weeks. They've got the best loss of the group, losing only to Notre Dame by 5 points. I've got Virginia 12 because they beat Duke, who's 13. I got Duke 13 because they beat Syracuse, who's 14. And I got the Noles 15 for a number of reasons. Number one, they're minus 90 in points in ACC games. That's the worst in the league. The worst. I also mentioned they've given me 2 really good halves of football. The second half against Jacksonville State, the first half against North Carolina. If you took those 2 halves away, Florida State has been outscored this year 200-79. It's hard to say it.
Wow.
Number 16, the Sweet 16, the spot this week goes to Lane Kiffin's Math. And if you don't know the story, you're getting ready to understand why it's Lane Kiffin's Math. By the way, there were a number of others that could have been in there. New England Patriots could have been you. The ATLLLLL Falcons could have been you. Could have been. It could have been Mike Nolan, the defensive coordinator for Cowboys, who was doing a Zoom yesterday and wiped his eyes only to know he had Tabasco sauce on it, had to shut it down. Could have been you, Mike Nolan. There's a number of folks we could have picked, but I went with Lane Kiffin's Math, and here's the story. Lane was not happy with the officiating in the Southeastern Conference, so he went to social media and ripped him. All right? That didn't go over well with the suits in Birmingham. So they fined him. Fined him $25,000. So Lane went back on social media yesterday. So he's fined $25,000 in cash. The head coach at Ole Miss put this on social media. Where can I find 25,000 pennies? Now, I don't know what kind of educational level you may be watching or listening to this show, but I would sense that roughly 99% of America would understand that if you owe somebody $25,000 in cash, you're probably going to need more than 25,000 pennies. That's just me. So Lane wasn't done with that. When somebody pointed out to him, hey, boss, I don't think those 25,000 pennies are going to cover your problem with the commish down there, Mr. Sankey. He went back on social media to straighten it out. So the head football coach at Ole Miss and said, you're right. I need 250,000 pennies. Lane train. Hey, it just means more when you can add. 250,000 pennies is not going to cover the $25,000 expense. Lane went back for a third time and apparently copied off somebody's paper and got it right. Yeah, there it is, Lane. You do need 2.5 million pennies to pay off the 25K that you owe the folks down there in Birmingham. So that is why Lane Kiffin's Math skills are in the Sweet 16 spot this weekend. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm surprised that he didn't know that because the way his defense plays, they've given up nearly 2.5 mil this year. They can't stop a cold. They are brutal defensively. Man. But there it is. Lane Kiffin's Math skills in the 16th spot. At the top, I think, Wes, we all agree with the 4. Whatever order you want to put them in. Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, right. North Carolina. All 4 of those teams are really in a good spot. When you start talking about, are we in position now to make the stretch run this week, the last weekend of October, and all of November to somehow get to Charlotte for the ACC championship game? I do think that 2 of those teams are coming from that group of 4.
And one of the questions we posed yesterday is one we're still working through here in this week. Who's the 5th best team in the ACC? We'll kind of investigate more of that coming up as the week moves on. Pack had, what, Virginia Tech in that slot? Is that right? You had Virginia Tech at 5. I had Wake Forest at 5 this week. So I think Eric McLean had the Deacons at 5 as well. So we're fan accounting. You used the hashtag Packer in Durham. We look forward to getting a lot of your entries. We'll pick 2 tomorrow to showcase on the show on what will turn out to be a fairly, by the way, busy Wednesday. The commissioner of the ACC, John Swofford, is with us tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Plus, Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley also stops by. His team, a big win over Georgia Tech. They get ready to meet number one Clemson on Saturday at noon on ABC. If you miss any of our program, you can certainly see it on the flip here on ACC Network. Don't forget a podcast is available, Packer and Durham, not only off the ESPN platforms, but also wherever you download your podcast as well. We appreciate the patronage there. Tim Hasselbeck also on this show tomorrow, too. The guest list this week, much to our benefit, has probably been very steady. Therefore, less of us and more informed people talking about ACC athletics. The time is going to get you here if you're not careful, by the way.
I don't think the golf cart's happening, but that's okay. Maybe next year. I will throw my services again to the conference to promote. I will be available to drive the golf cart next season if you guys want. Maybe they need some video. Let's see if I can drive one of those things. I don't know what else I can do. I'm just trying to cross promote.
Maybe we
got to
go do
help.
That. Maybe we got to film you driving the golf cart.
I mean, like so I told you, I would much rather be zipping through the woods in a golf cart leading a pack than I would be where I'm going to have to be, unfortunately, on Friday, and that's have another one of those crazy COVID tests.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
The worst.
Before we go, a happy birthday wish today to pound for pound the greatest football player in the history of Georgia Tech, in my opinion. Calvin Johnson Jr. celebrates a birthday today. So happy birthday to henceforth known as Megatron. Marvelous career in Detroit and now doing great things in the community, not only in Atlanta, but also still in the Detroit area as well.
Cool.
So happy birthday to Calvin Johnson. Thanks to Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, Meg back with us today. God bless her. She's come back on the crew. We haven't chased her off yet. Thanks to everybody on the back row and in the bunkers as well. Appreciate you being a part of Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Stay safe, everyone. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. here on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.